morning. How we doing? Big divisional game this weekend with the Oakland Raiders. Going up there and playing in that venue is a unique experience and one that a lot of our players know and that we're looking forward to with their fans. It'll be a great environment for an NFL football game. Right now, that team is doing really made some improvements since the first time we played them. The run game has improved. That big offensive line is certainly something we're going to have to address and have a plan for. And the back is playing really well, along with Zach Miller, who's leading the team in receptions and yardage, receiving and touchdowns. So offensively, there's some things that we have to be ready for. Defensively, they got a bunch of players over there, a bunch of big bodies. They're doing a great job sacking the quarterback, putting pressure on people, and really with their base fronts, not a lot of blitz pressures. I believe it's 10 different guys have at least 3 sacks. So we're going to have to be able to ready handle the pressure, not only with the offensive line, but with the backs and the tight ends and the wide receivers running fast routes and then getting the ball out of our hand at the quarterback spot. And then with the special teams, obviously Sebastian Janikowski and Leckler, that we got to be able to handle, you know, what they do with the kicking game and how they kick the football, because it's certainly a weapon with field position. And, you know, Sebastian Janikowski's attempted some extremely long field goals. So. It's a big challenge for us. As far as today, Dawkins will be out again today. Demaryius Thomas will be out again today. Kevin Alexander will be out today, and Matt Prater will be out today. We anticipate getting some guys back and getting ready to go and having a great day of work, because we got a lot of preparation and some things to fix, but it's an opportunity for us to go on the field and get better today.
Have any of those 4 been ruled out for Sunday?
No, not at this point in time.
Have you got any idea? Are you going to tweak your preparation based on, because it really doesn't matter at this point necessarily who you're playing, it's your team and how they play, and it hasn't played well for a while. Anything different, any different pep talks or practice routines?
Well, I think the practice routine from last week, I felt like that was a good adjustment we made trying to get our guys fresh. I did feel like we were fresh going into the game physically and mentally as far as what we did with our preparation. As far as the pep talks, you know, we're certainly going to talk about a lot of things that have to do with the Oakland Raiders. It's a division game. It's a great challenge. They're playing well right now. They're 4-0 in the division. And we've got to have, you know, our best week of preparation, like any week. I mean, every week doesn't change. You've got to prepare as hard as you can, Mike, and get ready to go in this division and in the NFL at any point in time.
Was the way they handled you the last time, it was, you know, one of the more embarrassing defeats for this organization. That going to be brought up a time or two?
There's no question. We will definitely be addressing that.
What did that game and the way that game ended up, what did that do to the course of this season for you guys?
That specific, I don't know. I mean, the season's a collective experience. It's not, you know, one game at a time. I think they all have factors in what we're doing and where we're going. And the only thing we can do right now is look at this game, what we can do to prepare ourselves for this game and go forward for this game.
The way that game kind of got out of hand pretty quickly, what can you take from that film, from the way that they play? I mean, because teams don't ever get to play with a 21-point lead after 6 minutes. I mean, is there a lot that you can take from the way that game played out, or are you expecting just completely?
I talked to him this morning. It's very similar experience to what we had this past weekend. So there's a lot to learn from for us, that we know that if you don't take care of the ball, you know, we had 5 fumbles and lost 2 of them. We had an interception. So the turnovers we had certainly made a difference in that game, letting them get out to a fast start, which is something they've done very well this year, the Oakland Raiders have. And so what we've got to do is we've got to control the things that we can control, which is taking care of the football and getting our own fast start.
Have you found in your career that there is any kind of a carryover from a loss that bad? I mean, as far as a motivation factor or positive or negative from getting beaten like that?
Well, I hope there's a tremendous pride factor in it. You know, I mean, the gentlemen that played in that game are going to get another chance to go out and play against essentially the same people that came here and played in that game. So I think our room is full of prideful individuals. I know they're going to prepare because they're professionals to go have this football game. And I'm expecting that we're going to have a much better effort and outcome than we had the first time.
Hey, Eric, in the NBA, I know it's a longer season, but sometimes teams just don't show up. Bad day at the office. Does that happen over 16 games? Was the Oakland game a case of just a team not showing up? Because 2 weeks later, Kansas City came in here and they kind of didn't show up.
Sure.
And you guys whooped them pretty good. So looking back on it, I know you weren't the head coach then, but looking back of the whole scheme of things, might it just have been a bad day at the office where your guys didn't show up mentally?
Well, I think there's some days when teams certainly play better, and you give two examples of a day when we played much better and a day when we didn't play. I don't think we don't have that luxury in the NFL with only 16 games of having a bad day at the office. There's every game is critical, and when it does happen and there's games like that, you're losing ground because we don't have 80 games or 160 if it's in baseball. And every game is critical for us. Every game is critical for us, regardless of where you are in the season, because we're still playing to perform for our organization and for our fans.
Your quarterback has had two pretty bad games in a row. He's been sacked a career high 34 times. What's your gauge of his health? Is he hurt? Is he banged up? Is that the reason that he's had some of these?
A lot of our guys are banged up right now. I mean, it's week, it's week 14 in the NFL, and guys that have been playing consistently have bumps and bruises. Kyle does have some bumps and bruises, and I think that's part of the things that happen at this time of the year.
Do you sense a dead arm, so to speak, in his delivery?
No, not, no.
But do you explain some of these passes that are missing so far?
Well, again, there's a lot of things that go into that. There's the offensive line, there's the protection, there's the backs, there's people being in the right spots, there's pressure that happens to us. I think there's a lot of things that factor into that.
You said the other day that Kyle's was your starter, but you were going to assess it with the organization. Still the same case?
Absolutely. We're still looking at everything. We've got a great week of preparation ahead of us. It starts today. We've already had our walkthrough. And we'll start making adjustments and things and looking at every factor that goes into getting our team ready for this football game.
But is he still the starter?
Kyle is still the starter.
Eric, if he's not hurt, how do you explain what happened last 2 weeks after pouring over tape, talking to him, et cetera? Why such a huge difference in the first 11 games and then the last two?
I mean, that's the question we're trying to answer, and that's why we're working at it. The coaches are working at it. He's working at it. We're all taking great pride in the fact that it has been a problem the last 2 weeks, and we're trying to solve those problems, and the best way to solve it that we know is to go to work, is to keep working and trying to get everybody on the same page, everybody doing what they have to do, offensive line, the backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the quarterbacks.
As a running backs coach, what's your perspective on Darren McFadden and how he played against you guys 6 weeks ago, and then especially last week with his, I guess maybe the big play.
Yeah, Darren's an explosive back, and when he played the first time, he had three rushing touchdowns and another one receiving, and a big yardage day. He's a talented young player. He's a talented young player, and certainly somebody that we got to be ready for, and we got to have a plan for. We've got to tackle him, because if he gets out in the open, he's fast enough to really create some big plays. And but I think he's really is a talented young player. Their run game has steadily improved since we played them the first time. It has, and you see that, and his production has gone up, and he's having a great year. I think he's just under 1,000 yards right now, and he's really doing a good job this year.
How a lot of teams use extra tight ends to help with the blocking. In the first game against you, I seem to remember they went heavy with an extra tackle outside. How effective was that in what they were able to do on the ground against you guys?
Well, certainly effective, because they had a great day on the ground. They ran the ball effectively against us. That the extra tackle is employed by a lot of teams, and people use that. There's certainly some advantages to it. There's also some disadvantages to it. But for them, it's a part of their offense and what they do, and something that we're already preparing for, and we've got adjustments for on the defensive front.
When you looked at Cardinals rush for 113 yards, I believe, in the fourth quarter, what do you attribute that to?
Well, there's a bunch of missed tackles. I mean, our defense played so well in the first three quarters of the game, and then in the fourth quarter, we let them get out on a few long runs. And, there's missed tackles, and I know our defense is an incredibly prideful group. And those guys are sitting in there, and they watch that tape, and they felt as though they let each other down on those plays.
Rick, how do you think that Doug Parrish is handling this cloud that's hanging over him with his pretty serious situation he's facing?
I haven't talked to him about that. The visit we had the other day, he was serious about it. He understood the severity of the situation that he's in, and You know, he understood that he's got a lot of things that he's got to continue to do to comply with the gathering of the facts and information. But other than that, I haven't spoken to him.
Is playing Parrish Cox a necessity at this point?
A necessity?
Like, if you had a choice, why is Parrish Cox playing right now? Why doesn't he just sit on the bench?
Well, because at this point in time, all the facts have to be gathered and all the information has to be gathered. And I think until we complete that process, that to make any decision outside of what our organization has already gathered and we've discussed, and it's been lengthy discussions within the organization. It wasn't something that was lightly handled. It was conversations with Mr. Boland and Joe Ellis and everyone involved in this to make an organizational decision. And at this point in time, we felt like that playing him is the right thing to do.
How do you personally feel about the allegations that are now coming out?
It's not for me to judge that. My position here is to continue to gather all the facts and support Parrish in what's going on, but to pass judgment is not my place.